This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex Jones here with huge breaking news. Hillary Clinton, in her own words, in FBI testimony released today, told the FBI that she had amnesia, didn't remember the emails, the servers, any of it. In her own words, she says she is unfit to be president. These things are predictable, but it's still hard to believe that the FBI has been pressured for months to release their research data dump on Hillary Clinton. Because even if they're going to roll over and not charge her for the crime she's publicly committed, they should at least release them. So now, with Labor Day coming up and having this holiday on Friday, they predictably released the data dump at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Knowing that Americans are busy going to pick their kids up after school and to get ready for the long three-day weekend. A lot of what's in the data dump we've already seen, but tons of it is new. We knew about 33,000 emails that she never turned over that disappeared. That was already admitted. Now they admit to 17,500 emails that they said weren't there, that they previously denied to give over, that were on the servers. So they basically gave the FBI this needle in a haystack and hoped they wouldn't notice that a lot of it was hiding in plain view. But here's the big news from the FBI, and it's on screen for TV viewers. Hillary Clinton, over and over and over again, dodged subpoenas, wouldn't testify to Congress, wouldn't talk to the FBI, wouldn't answer their questions. And it was even in the news at the time in 2013. Where is she? She's in the hospital for almost a year. Well, now the FBI has gone public and said that Hillary Clinton told them years ago, and then again recently, that because she had a traumatic brain injury, a concussion, she had amnesia and didn't remember. This is so huge, because this is what Matt Drudge for 3 years has been saying. It's what Obama's former doctor is saying. It's what Dr. Drew got fired for saying. It's what my guests like Dr. Steve Pachinik have been saying. Hillary Clinton clearly has neurological problems. Donald Trump comes out and says she's having to take naps all the time. She only gives a few speeches a week. She's low energy. This is not presidential material. WikiLeaks shows that she was trying to get drugs for Parkinson's. It goes on and on. The weird seizure-like behavior, the being helped up by Secret Service, her doctor coming over with a tranquilizer pen saying, it's okay when somebody yells something in the crowd. This woman is clearly a basket case a lot of the time and is having serious problems. And the word is she had brain surgery multiple times during that year in the hospital that overlapped 2012-2013. They've not released her full medical records. They've released only a snippet from an earlier doctor in New York. So this is such a big deal that Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, not Alex Jones, not Matt Drudge, not Breitbart, not World Net Daily, not Vladimir Putin, not the Keebler Elves, because we're all told this is a theory from Vladimir Putin and we're all getting orders. Hold on. Putin, what do I say? Okay, I'll say it right now. No, you look like hell. You've been in the hospital. You're falling down. You've got all these problems. You're in the hospital for a year. And now you, Hillary Clinton, told the FBI that you couldn't remember anything you did because you had such a serious brain injury. You need to be evaluated by an outside group of independent, nonpartisan brain surgeons, neurologists, and others, just as we've been calling for 6 months. You need to actually debate Donald Trump and not just have back-to-back discussions with him like's coming up in the first meeting. And you need to be held accountable for being caught having classified material on your servers you lied about. The FBI's come out now and released the evidence. The FBI's Hillary email probe found evidence of effort to evade federal records law. That's what made the head of the EPA have a step down 3 years ago, was having a fake set of records as well. You have absconded from the law. You've been caught. And it's time for the crime syndicate you represent, the Bush and Clinton crime family, to ride into the sunset. If you don't, it's pretty clear that your health's going to catch up with you, the law's going to catch up with you, and public opinion has already caught up with you. You've been caught red-handed. More stories and analysis at InfoWars.com. If you're watching or listening to this transmission, you are the resistance.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Isn't it funny? You know, when I came here 17 years ago and I said that I wanted to lead a campaign to get Britain to leave the European Union, you all laughed at me. Well, I have to say, you're not laughing now, are you?
I come to you from the United Kingdom with a message of hope and a message of optimism. It's a message that says if the little people, if the real people, if the ordinary decent people are prepared to stand up and fight for what they believe in, we can overcome the big banks. We can overcome the multinationals. We saw the commentariat and we saw the polling industry doing everything they could to demoralize our campaign. On the day of the vote itself, that morning, they put us 10 points behind. And actually, they were all wrong. And they were wrong because what the Brexit campaign did is we reached those people who have been let down by modern global corporatism. We reach those people who have never voted in their lives, but believe by going out and voting for Brexit, they could take back control of their country, take back control of their borders, and get back their pride. Folks, the message is clear. The parallels are there. There are millions of ordinary Americans who've been let down, who've had a bad time, who feel the political class in Washington are detached from them, who feel so many of their representatives are politically correct parts of that liberal media elite. They feel people aren't standing up for them, and they've actually, in many cases, given up on the whole electoral process. And I think that you have a fantastic opportunity here with this campaign. You can go out. You can beat the pollsters. You can beat the commentators. You can beat Washington.
And now he joins us to the bottom of the hour, Nigel Farage, a major historical figure, just a normal businessman, a family man who 25 years ago saw their sovereignty being destroyed, didn't get elected to office until 99, now the fastest growing party, not just in the UK, but Europe. And it's just classic Renaissance, Magna Carta, 1776, whatever you want to call it. It's amazing that I've been interviewing this guy for 15 years. It's been a few years since he's been able to come on. He joins us to talk about all of this, but the parallels between he and Donald Trump, where Trump's never been in office either, are simply amazing. We're going to talk about it all. Here's the Washington Post, Financial Times, and others today, saying with globalization in danger, G20 double down and are trying to defeat nationalism. They say if Hillary is defeated, it's the end of the New World Order. This is an epic time. Mr. Farage, who just recently resigned as the head of UKIP, still in the EU Parliament. Wow, talk about a David versus Goliath story. This is epic.
Well, it is. And I think the point about Brexit, Alex, is Brexit is the first victory. We've had little victories. We've had, you know, the odd election that's gone well for people in, whether it's in Germany or France or wherever it may be. But Brexit is the first strike back against this phenomenon. This phenomenon of the big banks, the big businesses, effectively owning politics, literally willfully destroying nation-state democracy, getting rid of that thing that our forebears actually fought and shed their blood to create and to preserve, our liberties, our freedoms, all of that being taken away, and suddenly, in a referendum that no one said we could win. I mean, literally, nobody thought Brexit would succeed, and we've done it. We've done it, and I think what we've done is given inspiration to freedom fighters right across the Western world.
Wow. Where should we begin in the limited time we have here, Mr. Farage? The election here, how Brexit...
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Hillary, shall we?
Please do.
If you can bear it. I mean, Hillary represents everything that has gone wrong in our lives in the last couple of decades. She is part, a dynastic part, you know, of that class of people who have taken us into an endless series of foreign wars that I think arguably have made things worse, certainly in Libya and elsewhere, not better. She is part of that phenomenon where all that seems to matter now is corporatism. You know, the big global companies who want to set the rule books to effectively put out of business small and medium-sized competitors, they have destroyed, you know, what I believe to be proper free market capitalism, where you or I can go and set up a company, you know, and have a real chance of succeeding. And they presided over a period where the rich have got richer and where ordinary, decent working people have seen their living standards deteriorate. She represents failure. And she, of course, is completely unreconciled to the vote on Brexit, because Hillary loves the European Union. She loves these supranationalist global-type bodies. In fact, I think she sees the European Union as a prototype for an even bigger form of world government. And I would just say this to people. You know, I condemned Obama when he came to the United Kingdom during our referendum. He looked down his nose at Britain and the British people. He told us that if we dared to vote for our independence and our democracy, that America would basically throw us off the edge of a cliff. Forget about everything we've done and shared together, you know, over these last few years. And I condemned Obama for doing that. So I'm not going to tell people how they should vote in the USA, but let me make it clear. If you want nothing to change at all, if you want to continue with the kind of cronyism that we see with the Clinton Foundation and everything else, if you want things to stay the same, you vote for Hillary. But if you think there's an opportunity here, particularly in the wake of Brexit, for us to start doing things differently in the Western world, then she's the last person you should vote for. And I said at the Mississippi rally, I said, I wouldn't vote for Hillary if you paid me. I said, actually, I wouldn't vote for Hillary if she paid me. And I feel pretty strong. And I feel pretty strongly about that.
Well, I mean, it's come out in the new WikiLeaks documents, which she admits are accurate, that she's actually was selling influence to the Chinese president. I mean, this is even beyond espionage. I don't know how she and speaking of the devil, George Soros, who's tried to crash your country as well and did crash the pound. If you look at this, he wants the Internet to be run by the United Nations and basically the EU. He's come out now and said he wants the UN to run our police. And people laugh at that, but the UK got brought into the European Union without ever having a vote. These things are done by stealth. It's a real warning, I think, to the United States.
Oh, yes. It happens incrementally, little piece by little piece. You know, we joined just over 40 years ago. We joined something that my parents' generation were told, don't worry your little heads. This is just about trade. It's just about jobs. It's just about being friendly with our neighbors. And bit by bit, you know, we finish up in a situation where 75% of our laws weren't even made in the Houses of Parliament. They were made in the European institutions. We finished up with a system where under the European arrest warrant, any British citizen could be extradited to Greece or Bulgaria or anywhere else without the production of prima facie evidence, which, you know, from the country that actually developed Magna Carta, it really is quite a surrender. And we finished up, you know, we finished up being banned from making our own trade relationships and our own formal relationships with any other country in the world. And it's like the analogy, Alex, I've been given. It's like if you get a lobster, right?
Yes.
And you chuck it into a pan of hot water, it will shriek and shout and try and get out because it knows something bad's happening.
They actually shriek. Yes, they yell.
Oh, they do. No, they really do. But if you put a lobster into cold water, right, and turn on the heat, actually what happens is the lobster just gently falls asleep and finishes up being cooked. And I think that's what happened to the United Kingdom. We were put into cold water back in 1973.
You thought it was a hot tub, and you went to sleep and woke up in an EU tyranny.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was one of those people who, 25 years ago, and I don't know quite how or why, but 25 years ago, I started looking at this, and I just said, this is wrong.
By the way, you know, Nigel, you don't like to talk about yourself, but this is a part of history. You were a successful business guy, your family guy, whole nine yards. It's been in the news. They've taken the bolts off your car's tires. Even the French police said looked like they tried to kill you. Your airplane crashed. All this stuff. I mean, what made you 25 years ago decide to just strike out by yourself and now epically change the world? I mean, it's a success story for everybody out there.
It's actually very simple, very very simple indeed. You know, in every town, in every village in my country, there are memorials, war memorials, to those that fell, both in the First and Second World Wars, fighting for us to stay as an independent, free, proud, democratic nation and to stop tyranny in Europe. And I felt that what the European project was becoming was the very kind of tyranny that those before us had fought to stop. And nobody was asking me or telling me I had to put on a military uniform and carry a rifle. All I had to do was get involved and form a political party and get people to support it. And I've never wavered from that view in 25 years.
The information war, Nigel Farage, incredible. We've only got about 10 minutes left with you before we do another interview.
Yeah.
You've resigned from the party, but you're still in the EU Parliament. You're still working hard. Can you just briefly, for folks that want to know, explain, I mean, I understand, but for 25 years, why you've pulled back right on the, I mean, after this huge victory.
Yeah, well, there are two reasons. One is that there are two different types of people in politics. There are those who want to be something, who want the title, who want the chauffeur-driven car, who want the, you know, grandiose sort of stage to be on. But there are other people in politics because they're in it for a purpose. And my specific purpose was to free my country from this European project. So having achieved that goal, I said, look, I'm not retiring. I'm not moving up into the mountains and living in a, you know, living in a tin shed. But I'm going to step back from leadership, and that's going to leave me free to make this argument, not just in the United Kingdom, not just in the EU Parliament, but around other parts of the Western world. And when you and I met each other in Cleveland at the Republican Convention, so that was the first time in years I'd been free without having to represent a political party to go out and look around the world. And I will, you know, as I'm talking to you tonight, I will make these arguments in the American elections, and I will go around the free world saying to people, let's take back what we've lost. The second reason, if I'm frank, is that doing this for a quarter of a century, doing a job that absorbs you 24/7, leaves you no time, leaves you no time to catch a fish, leaves you no time to see your kids grow up. I'm now going to work, Alex, 50 or 60 hours a week, not 100 hours a week.
I get it, sir. I totally understand, and thank God you created UKIP. I mean, you're a model. I mean, everything else. Look at how every EU country has a major Brexit-style movement, and the polls show that we're going to see huge victory here. So I want to talk about that in a moment, how the empire is going to strike back, how the socialist and communist bureaucrats and mega banks are going to strike back. But getting into overall what globalism is up to these days, are they crying foul and saying that they're in deep trouble as a way to get governments to desperately go along with them? Or is it accurate that they're on their heels? I mean, I've got a stack of news articles here saying U.S.-led globalism is dying. And, of course, they mean globalist-run globalism is dying.
Yeah.
With the TPP.
Yeah.
New World Order in trouble. Soros in trouble. I mean, they claim they're in really, really deep trouble. When I look at the facts, it looks like they are. But then I ask, how are they going to bring us into a depression? Are they going to crash our currencies again? I mean, this is the usual suspects. How is the empire going to strike back?
The empire is bewildered. The empire is befuddled. The empire still cannot, just as I said about Hillary earlier in this interview, the empire doesn't get Brexit because the empire didn't believe Brexit was possible. And now the empire's problem is that it's fighting this argument on several fronts at once. You know, we've got the American elections going on. We've got a big referendum coming up in Hungary on migrant quotas from Germany. We've got a rerun of the Austrian presidency where the right-wing candidate was cheated by false votes. So they've got a real problem. They are fighting us now on a whole series of fronts. What will they do to fight back? I don't know the answer to that yet. And do you know something? Nor do they. Because over the course of the last few decades, all of their plans, piece by piece, to build these new structures, they've won every single battle. Some of them have taken them longer than they wanted, but they've won every single battle. After Brexit, they're in trouble. And I have to say that these American elections, you know, this could be a result globally far bigger even than Brexit. You know, if America is the leader of the Western world, once again becomes the leader of the free world, well, then I think, we will have done away with the globalists.
Well, sir, you're right. The Washington Post said 2 weeks ago that Hillary's a referendum and that Brexit was the first domino and that she's the second. And if she falls, they say it's irrevocable because they, in their own documents that we've gotten from BAMP Canada, North American Union meetings 10 years ago, they admit, they say, it's key that we maintain stealth and secrecy. If the public ever finds out, North American integration and our plan will fail. That's a quote. I mean, it's like a James Bond villain. We've caught them. You've exposed them. I don't see how they can continue when it comes out that they're dictatorial. But first, since you mentioned Hillary, I don't know if you saw her big national speech last week. She attacked myself, you and others. She attacked Donald Trump like it was bad that he was associated with somebody like you. Who's changing the world and loved all over the place. Even the left is having to admit you've got good points. And so let's play this clip of Hillary acting like Trump's bad because he's modeling himself after a winner like you. Here it is.
Nigel Farage, who stoked anti-immigrant sentiments to win the referendum to have Britain leave the European Union, campaigned with Donald Trump in Mississippi.
And then Paul Watson in the piece he did on this went on to say, hey, Hillary and Nigel Farage won. Don't forget that part. I think this really illustrates her disconnect, sir.
Well, I just want to, can I please use this opportunity to thank Hillary Clinton from the bottom of my heart for doing what she's done. She's raised my profile massively in this presidential election. She's made me a political football between the Trumpites and the Clintonites, and she's given me an even bigger platform in the United States of America to say to people, we've just won our democracy back. Why don't you do the same thing? So, Hillary, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So here's the paradox. They've got the money, they've got the power, they've stolen control, they got the Swiss bank accounts like the EU bureaucrats that don't pay taxes. You've exposed all that, but people are waking up. They're unelected, they're dictatorial. That's an uphill battle for them. The problem is they're already on top of the hill. How do you see this playing? I mean, in fact, I agree with you. They don't know how to counter. They're panicked right now. I've never seen the media so deceptive. They seem to be doubling down.
Yeah, what we've got to do is to focus on what we can do. And what we can do is to go out and reach the millions, tens of millions of people across the Western world who frankly feel completely disconnected and disenchanted with politics. You know, we've been through these years where, frankly, whichever party you vote for doesn't make very much difference. And where people say, do you know what? I'm not going to bother. It makes no difference. And what we have to do is we have to inspire those people. We have to say to those people, come on, get up off your backside, get down to that polling station, vote. Because it's only by us getting together and doing what we think that we can change things. And that's the lesson, Alex, from Brexit. Nearly 2.5 million people who don't vote or have never voted in their lives went out on June the 23rd and turned it into our independence.
Total history. And of course, they're trying to ignore the vote. It's a battle, but they're going to lose in the end. This is amazing.
They can't. They can't.
In the minute we have left.
They can't ignore the vote. So I would say to people, if you want change in America, then, yeah, listen to these shows. Talk to your friends and neighbors. But actually, you've got to get your walking boots.
Knock on doors.
You've got to get out and meet people, inspire people. And if you do that, we'll strike a blow against the globalists from which they will never, ever recover.
Absolutely. In the minute we have left, sir, I just want to say that obviously you've not really retired. You're here battling the New World Order globally now. You've actually gone to the next level, and I appreciate your time, your energy, and the risk you've taken for yourself and your family. Of course, UKIP.org, the former party you headed up, and of course people can also follow you on Twitter. We'll put that on screen for TV viewers as well. But this is a great historic time. It is a referendum against the New World Order, and I think Donald Trump's going to win if all of our listeners and others do what you say and take action. So thank you for spending your time trying to help America be a free country as well, Mr. Farage.
No, not one little bit, and I'll be back between now and November the 8th.
Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I mean, InfoWars is making history, and that big old amplifier, DrudgeReport.com, is watching our six. And we're watching Drudge's six and everybody else's, but I tell you, they tried to kill him over and over again, and I'm not going to get into it, but they've taken the bolts off his tires. The police said that somebody tried to kill him. They've messed with his brake lines. His airplane crashed. And that guy basically just marches around all over Europe, you name it, with no bodyguards, basically. He's the real deal. I have young children, and I've never had bodyguards. And I've gotten to the point with stuff going on behind the scenes that I do. And I've hired former highly decorated Army people that are part of security details worldwide. But that's the type of stuff we have to deal with. Our Blitzer Kimmel story is also on Drudge. It's getting crazier. And just to look at the anatomy of propaganda, we'll cover that when we come back. But history's happening. Big things are happening. The fight against tyranny is taking place. And people are deciding what side they're on. You can't read the Soros emails. Even liberal publications are now coming out and saying, okay, Soros is really bad. Okay, he wants to overthrow countries. He wants to create racial division. He wants to destabilize things. It's all there. I mean, a moron would not be able to tell this. A really big moron, an average moron, would be able to. I mean, this is crazy. And it doesn't mean the Republicans are going to save us either, but Trump is an insurrection taking over the Republican Party with the populism. And that's why they're throwing everything they've got against him. But Nigel Farage, ladies and gentlemen, making history 25 years ago, starting out, having a huge victory. Imagine where InfoWorlds will be in 4 years. It'll be our 25th anniversary.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Aborted babies incinerated to heat UK hospitals. Soylent Green, ladies and gentlemen, is made out of people.
But now children are literally being passed through the furnace in order to fuel hospitals in the UK. They're being sacrificed on the altar of efficiency and prosperity.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
The powdered flesh from dead babies. Some people believe they can cure disease.
Because of its enormous popularity, Soylent Green is in short supply. Remember, Tuesday is Soylent Green Day.
The supply of Soylent Green has been exhausted. You must evacuate the area.
Today is Tuesday!
The federal court ruled that the shareholders of PepsiCo, Big Bilderberg Group Company, are not allowed to know what they're using the baby parts for in the flavoring, but we already know. So enjoy the flavor.
We're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death penalties and sales taxes.
I'm consistently pro-death. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving.
Is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-up in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
They told me to say that they were sorry, but that you had become unreliable.
Is this the kind of society that you want to live in? Any kind of society that would do this to its children will do it to its senior citizens. It will do it to its dissidents. That kind of society will also eventually turn on its police, on its army, on its prison guards, on the Quislings and the collaborators who make that possible. This is nothing but a suicide cult.
The scoops are on their way. The scoops are on their way. I repeat, the scoops are on their way.
You will find out why Soylent Green means life. You will find out why Soylent Green means death.
We've got to stop them.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Soylent Green is people!
It's all about dehumanizing us. And that's what socialists and statists do everywhere, whether it's the Soviet Union or Venezuela or Cuba or North Korea. Every communist system becomes a total collapse nightmare, except for China, because of the classic, hardworking, intelligent nature of the Chinese people, who are the ultimate free market folks. If you go to the cliches, they're true. They have a bifurcated system with communists on top ruling over a bunch of slaves, basically, and free market allowed in certain areas to basically take over the world. The ultimate merger of crony capitalism with communism. Lord Christopher Monckton is joining us till about 5 after the next hour. The Nigel Farage, kind of a Anglophile type transmission today, because so much of the resistance against the New World Order is coming out of the British Isles. Lord Monckton is the former top advisor. He doesn't brag about that, but if you look it up, to Margaret Thatcher. Also been a major newspaper editor, a scientist, a major inventor, and, of course, someone who is the leading person publishing scientific papers, some of the most read in the world, or the most read in the world, on the fact that anthropogenic global warming is a fraud. The problem is, and it's now been in even the Associated Press, 14 attorney generals and governors have been meeting in secret, looking to arrest prominent man-made climate change deniers, and they're actually on the news now pushing this. Now, I wanted to get him on last week, but he was too busy to talk about this meme saying that we don't want Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. I mean, I would elect a libertarian, conservative, nationalist, patriot, free market woman in a heartbeat. In fact, I'd love to have a woman president. I'd like it. I don't want a kingpin whose emails just came out that she's actually was paying access for others to get to the Chinese president. This has now reached espionage level. That's confirmed. George Soros has come out in the new emails that have been hacked, and he admits they're real emails saying the UN will run the U.S. police, and the UN will run the Internet. These are from 3 years ago, and they'll censor critics of his foundations and not allow us to have voices. So they want to arrest us. They want to shut down the web. Hillary puts out fundraisers 2 weeks ago, emails saying Breitbart doesn't have a right to exist, and the alt-right needs to be shut down. And then she comes out and names us by name. Alex Jones, Breitbart, Drudge Report, they're coming after us. They're in the news almost every day saying arrest Monckton. These people, we go down to the Democrat crowds down here nicely to interview them, and they start saying they want to kill me. So Lord Monckton, you've always called them Nazi-like, and people overuse that, but in this case it's really true. I don't think people realize what's happening. Are they doing this because they're panicking? Are they doing this because they believe this is their time to take over? What is the arrogance? Is it a put-on? Is it real? You're a real psychological expert on this. I want to spend some time on powerful women in history and one of the most, Margaret Thatcher, an incredibly great lady, Sutter Bilderberg, who stopped the euro early on, but after she got out, they pushed it through. I mean, a true nationalist, a true, smart, amazing, eloquent woman versus this brand of Samantha Powers and man-hating, nation-hating, wealth-hating, war-loving. I mean, it's bizarre. So I want to talk about that and also some of the latest developments. Scienceandpublicpolicy.org. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, and let's start with women at the top in politics. What is interesting is that in the United Kingdom, it was not just a member of the Conservative Party who became Britain's first Prime Minister, but actually a real Conservative, because most of the Conservative Party members in Parliament are not really Conservatives at all. But Margaret Thatcher was a Conservative, and she became Britain's first woman Prime Minister. So the idea that somehow people are opposed to Hillary Clinton just because she's a woman, I think are very far from the truth. I think they're opposed to Hillary Clinton, and rightly, because she's a crook. And in law, it doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. If you're a crook, you're a crook. And the hacked emails that are gradually coming out show that she is and was and will probably continue in office to be a crook if the people are unwise enough to elect her. And so, no, there is no prejudice against women on our side of the debate. Far from it, as you have just so very eloquently said, you'll elect a woman provided that she is libertarian and is in favour of peace, low taxes, and none of the hideous totalitarian experiments that you showed in that clip before this segment began. The idea that in Britain now we're using babies as fuel in hospitals. Now, this, of course, is the ultimate ghastliness that even Dr. Mengele didn't think up in Nazi Germany. And what is astonishing is the lack of self-criticality on the part of the communist or fascist left, because, of course, the communists and the fascists are really two sides of the same hard left coin. In fact, if one goes back to China that you mentioned earlier, the early Chinese imperial philosophers said, right, there are the big divide in politics, and it still is the big divide today, thousands of years later, is between the totalitarians, they call them the legalists, and the Confucians, we call those the libertarians. So the totalitarians versus the libertarians.
And now the totalitarians have learned to claim they're the real liberals, but they're not.
No, of course they're not. I mean, the word liberal doesn't apply to the likes of Hillary Clinton. It doesn't apply to the so-called Democrats. Indeed, the word Democrat doesn't apply to the Democrats either. They're not Democrats. They don't believe in elections. They're merely a stepping stone on the way to total totalitarian control. You just have to look at the number of treaties that Mr. Obama has busily been trying to put
in place. Unelected.
Well, Euro is a good example. We, thank goodness, stayed out of that. I worked very, very hard to make sure that we did.
Yeah, I should have added you're a major leader of that as well. And, of course, it's not about credit, but people need to know why you're so derided and attacked. I mean, you were like a just as important as, say, our George Washington in our beginning in this fight against the New World Order. I mean, it's epic to be able to talk to you
gets you everywhere, but the truth is that these battles do have to be fought. And they have to be fought very hard because the international totalitarian left are hoping that they can take over. Why, for instance, are these 14 attorney generals conspiring, for it is a conspiracy, to try to move against that provision in your constitution which guarantees free speech? By saying that those of us who are doing academic research, and quite good academic research at that, say I, suggesting that they've over-egged the pudding on global warming, should be locked up, should be imprisoned for daring to have a point of view other than that of the totalitarian state. Now, this takes us right back to Hitler, and there's no point in not saying so. Of course, they will immediately say, oh, yes, whenever the right get fed up, they say that the socialists are that Hitler was a socialist. Well, yes, he was. It
National
was the
Socialist.
National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. Of course he was left-wing.
That's the name of it. And then the left has lied and said he was right-wing. But let's expand on this briefly, because I want to get back to Margaret Thatcher. I've never had you on to talk about her. And sometime when you've got a full hour, I know we had some mix-ups today, I'd like to just spend a whole hour on her. She's so interesting when this election's over. What would Margaret Thatcher think today? I mean, you're somebody I know from reading newspaper articles that would advise her sometimes hours a day. She really, you were one of her main confidants. She really trusted you. She was a really smart lady. And obviously she was smart to trust you. You're a really smart guy, obviously. What type of person was Margaret Thatcher? Why was she willing to buck the entire globalist system? And why don't we see more leaders like her? Why don't we see more men like her?
I think the reason is that in politics, it's much government by its nature, tends to be on the totalitarian rather than on the libertarian side. Government is about control, sometimes for good ends, usually for bad and selfish ends. But it is about control. And therefore, there is a tendency in every governing system to move towards totalitarianism. And one of the exciting things about the constitutional developments that began in the era of Magna Carta and carried on steadily, and of course the American Revolution is part of that tradition of transferring power back from the totalitarian center and into the hands of the people. You know, the American Revolution was fundamentally a libertarian exercise, as was Magna Carta, and as was the election of Margaret Thatcher and her political triumph. These movements towards libertarianism were and are and continue to be valuable. But of course, the totalitarians don't like this. They don't like democracy. They don't like the idea that the people can have their say. They're furious that the people, by a substantial majority of more than a million votes, voted down the European Union and voted for Brexit. Why did we do this? Because we wanted once again to be free. I was talking to a cab driver on the way to a radio interview shortly before the vote, and he said, I'm going to vote to stay in. And I said, may I suggest why you shouldn't? And he said, yes. And I told him how an EU law is made, which is exactly how the left want to make laws everywhere. No democratic input whatsoever. The whole thing done by commissars behind closed doors. And at the end of this brief account by me of how a law is actually made in the European Union, he said, right, I'm voting the other way. I'm voting to get out. And I'm going to tell all my friends they've got to do the same to save our country from this totalitarian takeover. So there is now a real battle going on, a battle which you've been fighting with more than usual prescience and still more than usual vigor for many decades, which is between those who wish to shut down all opposition, and this time not just on a national but on a global level. And that's the significance of Obama and his treaty making. That's the significance of Obama and China ganging up together. Come on, we're all communists together. Let's lock the West into this climate nonsense by ratifying the climate treaty. Now, of course, Obama can't actually ratify the climate treaty because your Senate has to approve it.
Sure, Lord Martin, I want to get to that in a moment, but since you, I was about to interrupt when you led into this, I see articles every day in the Economist, the Financial Times of London, the New York Times, I think the Washington Post. I've got a stack of them here. We're not here hyping the fact that this is an epic battle. Literally, ScienceofPublicPolicy.org, Mark Moreno and Climate Depot, DrudgeReport.com, InfoWars, WorldNet Daily, Daily Caller, Breitbart are now the new media. We get more traffic than the mainstream media. They know that. They're scared. We are the legitimate media. We're not perfect, but we really want to tell the truth. We're nationalist. We're not into scams. We don't want to join the authoritarians. I know you could have joined them. I could have joined them. They admit that we are now defeating them at this point. They are in full crisis mode and say we must get Hillary elected. Brexit and UKIP and Nigel Farage and Lord Monckton is spreading everywhere. If the next domino falls, this is the Washington Post, we're over. The G20, as you know, is set to meet, and their new focus is nationalism from Spain to the UK to the United States to Australia rising. They are in panic mode. So listen to this. We're not just sitting here telling you all this and saying we've got a fighting chance. But the enemy's going to strike back. This is epic. This, and just as you were finally able to reach that cab driver in a few minutes, wake him up with the outrageousness of the authoritarianism of the EU, what is that blow that will finally take them down? Because I know they're winning at some level because they're still in control and they have the money, but they're losing the intellectual battle. What I'm getting at is, how are they going to strike back? What do we do, Lord Monckton? Because we are now standing in huge history. Our listeners are just as important as we are in history. This information war is so important, what you just illustrated.
Now, we have a mechanism which is very useful in the United Kingdom. I've used it against the BBC. I've used it against government departments. It's called judicial review, administrative action. It's not particularly expensive, provided you know how to work the system. And it allows, if a public authority oversteps the mark, and that's what totalitarians do, they'll always go beyond what the law allows. Here is Obama saying, I'm going to ratify the climate treaty personally. Now, in Britain, if a prime minister said, I'm going to ratify a treaty, and the prime minister didn't have the power to ratify a treaty, I would be able to go straight to the court. It would take precedence over all other business of the administrative court, which is a division of the High Court in London, and say, no, she can't do that. And it would be stopped. Now, you do have a similar system in the United States, but the libertarians are not always as smart as they should be about using the existing mechanisms that are available to you to stop, for instance, outrageous oversteppings of the mark by the EPA or by Obama saying he's going to ratify a treaty he has
no. Sure, so what do we do then? How do we strike back?
So what you do is you choose your issue carefully. Let us suppose that Obama does eventually try to purport to ratify personally a treaty which your constitution plainly states can only be ratified by a two-thirds majority of the Senate. Then all it takes is one person to go to the federal district court on judicial review and say the president has exceeded his authority and I want this looked at and then stopped. And that will bring the whole nonsense.
All right, let me expand on that. That was done by the Texas Attorney General. He was then shut up and indicted, but it's a fake case. He's doing okay. Literally at a dinner party, he just talked about a company he was in years before and said, I think it's a good investment. Oh, my gosh, he's so evil. The Justice Department comes after him. I'm going to skip this break, folks. It's too important. We're going to lose all the free speech if we don't do this. This battle's total. And then the Supreme Court and others ruled, okay, Obama is not allowed to just ignore law and let illegals in and not even test them for diseases. Stop. And Obama said, I'm not stopping. What do you do at that point when he is a naked Tyrannosaurus?
Well, he is then in contempt of court, and you go back to the court for an order requiring him to stop. And once you
That's right. Where is the Supreme Court on an injunction or Congress? With that court order could be prosecuting Obama, impeachment.
If you go to the court and you say you've made an order, Obama has decided to flout it, if that's what's happened here, and I haven't looked at this.
Well, the word is Scalia was going to rule against him.
If that's what's happened, then he is in contempt of court. And if you go back to the court and you say you gave this order, he is ignoring it, then they can issue an order for his arrest and imprisonment until he agrees to comply with the order of the court. And that's what you should do. It's not expensive. It is your right. And the court, if it has made a plain judgment and he is plainly flouting it, has no choice, even if it's stacked with all his cronies, it has no choice but to order his arrest. And that's what you've got to start to do. I mean, I did this a few years ago when the British government was trying to pass a thing called the Maastricht Treaty, which was the latest stage then of locking us into this EU monstrosity. And I discovered that against Parliament's instructions, they'd been spending taxpayers' money on various aspects of the Maastricht Treaty, even though we hadn't at that time ratified it. And this was contrary to the law. I took them to the Court of Session in Edinburgh, which is the equivalent of the Administrative Court in London, and the Attorney General for Scotland, the Lord Advocate, as he's called, had to come personally to try to defend himself in court. And in the end, he won on a technicality because the EU budget at line 14,973 for the previous year had overruled the British Parliament's decision, and the British Parliament had never read this document, so it didn't even know. And on that technicality, we lost the case. But then they came after me for their expenses. And I said, no. And they said, you've got to pay them because you came second. And I said, no, I won't. Instead, I want to know the date of the Lord's Advocate's proposed resignation from office. And they said, what do you mean? I said, those are my instructions. I told my solicitors, you tell them that. So they told the Lord Advocate's office that I wanted to know when he was going to
resign. And the point is, you made them admit that Al Gore's movie was a fraud, so they stopped showing it in UK schools. You've done this scores of times. Let me ask you this then. And by the way, I'll put it on screen if you didn't know because it didn't get a lot of attention. The Supreme Court 3 months ago ruled him just ignoring law and saying the border's wide open and ordering them to ship illegals in to God knows where is illegal. He has continued. I can put CNN on screen, Ward Martin, so you can see that.
Then, as I say, let me just finish this story, because when I told them that he'd have to resign, they backed off and said, okay, we won't ask for our costs. They knew he was acting against the law by demanding costs from me, and he couldn't get away with it, or he would have gone to prison. And it's the same with Mr. Obama. If the immigration decision of the Supreme Court is sufficiently clear, and if it is sufficiently clear that he is in breach of an order of the Supreme Court,
it says he's breaking the law.
Then all you have to do, if he continues to break the law, is to go back to the Supreme Court and say he's still doing it and ask for them to order his arrest and to be brought before
them. Sure, and I mean, to their credit, even though Scalia was dead,
yes,
the split court still said Obama was wrong. So, that's, I mean, right. It's very clear.
So what you must now do is stop simply bloviating and start acting. You have to do what I did, take them to court. And it's really simple. The mechanism in this case is that if the Supreme Court has issued an order of which he is in breach, then all any citizen has to do is to go before that court, say, here is the evidence that he is in breach, and I want it stopped. And they are then obliged to order his arrest. They are obliged to order him to attend the court, obliged to give him his chance to have his say and say why he thought it was appropriate to ignore an order of the Supreme Court. And if they are not satisfied with his explanation, and if he continues to refuse to back off, they can and should, and if you want my guess, will, send him to jail. That's how you fight back against these people. Use their own mechanisms against them.
I agree. I guess I could go file it. I don't want to just bloviate here, but who should go file this? It should be a governor?
Any citizen. Any citizen has the same right as any other citizen. When there is a breach of a court order as serious as this, citizen has. Right.
Okay, Lord Monson, we're going to go to break in a moment, so just hold for just one moment. But first, I want to just add to listeners and viewers, we're in an information war. It's very important to support the broadcast, spread the word. Internet censorship is kicking in. Don't take the show or scienceandpublicpolicy.org for granted. Spread those papers, those articles. We're in an info war. Show people the facts. Take advantage of our Hillary for Prison t-shirts at cost, $9.95, shipping included. That's at cost with shipping, $9.95. BioTrue Selenium, amazing cofactor in the body. You must have it for electrochemical activity. 20% off based on mustard seed, the best formula out there. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, incredible multivitamin with all the amino acids and cofactors. Great tasting fruit punch, absolutely organic and natural. 20% off, InfoWarsLife.com. Or call toll-free, 888-253-3139. But whatever you do, get that Hillary for Prison shirt because it's shaking the media up. Okay, getting back to you, Lord Monckton, what else is on the table here? What other big events are happening? What else are we looking at that you're tracking?
Right, here is a very interesting one. On the 8th and 9th of September in London, at the instigation of Professor Niklas Murner, the world's greatest expert on sea level, who, like all of us, believes that the global warming thing has been vastly exaggerated, there is the London Climate Change Conference, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 8th and 9th of September in Conway Hall, which is in London. Conway Hall, you can find it on the web very easily. Just turn up on the day and come into that conference. We have professors from all over the world, leading doctors and professors of science, and we will be looking at various scientific aspects of this climate change question. I will be chairing the open session of the conference. I'll be concluding the final session on the 9th, which is the second day of the conference, by making a major announcement about errors that have been identified in the computer models that have produced these wildly exaggerated predictions of global warming. These errors are serious, and once the errors are exposed, that's the end of the scare. So make sure you make your way to that climate change conference in London at the Conway Hall. And that is on the 8th and the 9th of September, starting at 9 a.m. Very important you should do that.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this question. It was hackers that brought out the hide the decline stuff, the fact that it was all a big scam. It's multinationals, it's Americans, it's Brits, it's Russians, you name it. But aren't hackers really the secret weapon in all this? Because what do we have to fear? We're not doing anything wrong. But these criminals like Hillary, they've got to be really freaked out.
They are running scared now, and they're running particularly scared on this climate question because the scientific argument just continues to collapse as temperatures fail to rise at anything like the previously predicted rates. And
Lord Monckton, I've got to go to break. Do 5 more minutes with us. The Nigel Farage is coming on. We're back in 70 seconds if you can, Lord Monckton. I know it's nighttime over there. I'm going to come back, have you finish up, and then go to Nigel Farage, the former leader of UKIP. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.